Hi, this is Farah Hürdözü from New York City for Jerry Pippin Radio Show. And today I have one of my very special guests, Maximilian Lafayette. Hi, Maximilian. Thank you very much for accepting this interview.
I'm delighted you're here. Delighted.
Thanks. Maximilian, this is our first face-to-face meeting with you in New York City. But as many people, I met you over Facebook in the last 2 months. Until I met you over Facebook, I really didn't know about your books. But obviously, you wrote more than how many books?
250.
And they're about?
Theater, music, languages, Anunnaki. Universes, parapsychology, you name it.
And on your Facebook profile, it says author, columnist, critic, historian, and linguistic. So yeah. Talking about languages, how many languages do you speak?
Plenty, but badly for all of them. Something maybe 20, 22, 23 languages.
How did you learn?
Oh dear. You know, in college, example, or in school, you can learn up to 3 languages, 4 languages. If you are in French school, the old-fashioned way, you learn Latin, Greek, and you learn French. And they start to teach recently English. So already 4 languages there. Now, if you visit two, three more countries in Europe, they are close, nearby, like Italy. Our border, you learn Italian just by talking to people. You go to Spain, you learn Spanish. So already there, you have 4, 6 languages in no time.
But what about the ancient languages?
Now, if you start to be interested by culture of the past, then you start to research organization, because you can't find it in colleges. They are very, very rare. Example, the biggest universities in the world, in America, for example, just to give a course in Aramaic or in Assyrian, they have to raise hell. They have to have national campaign to get grant to pay the faculty to develop the curriculum. This will not help. You have to go to old-fashioned rabbis, sheikh, ulema, Assyriologists, research from the past, and you will learn old language under his wings. You walk in his shadow and you learn from him. And usually those people in the past, when they spoke Arabic, they spoke Turkish, they spoke Farsi, they spoke Greek, they spoke Latin. They were really the ulama, the allama, the people of wisdom and knowledge and culture and tradition and science, alchemy, metaphysics. So I learned from them. And not
so, talking about Anunnaki, what is Anunnaki exactly?
Oh, my dear Farah, unfortunately, in America, almost 95% of the lovely people who read about the Anunnaki, they don't know what the wording Anunnaki means. Why? Well, very simple. They don't know where it came from, how it was written, in what language. They say Sumerian. Untrue. I'll show you that they don't know. Akkadian. That's a big mistake. They say, oh, Sumerian. It's a mistake. Akkadian. The epic of Gilgamesh, the epic of the creation, the epic of Ishtar, the epic of the great flood were written on clay tablet, cuneiform, in Akkadian. In the Akkadian epics, you will find 4 references to the Anunnaki. If you want to define the word Anunnaki, you don't go to a book written in America in English and tells you what Anunnaki is. You go to the source, because it's Akkadian. In the Akkadian language, Anunnaki means the following. and nothing else but this. It is composed of three parts. Anu, which means king, the head, the leader, the father, etc. The head. Then there is Na, ki. Sometimes we refer to Na as part of Ina. It is the same in Assyrian, in Hittite, in Chaldean, in Sumerian. It means from within. Sometimes it's used as an adverb, means under. The last part, it's ki. Ki has probably 16 different meanings in seven Semitic languages. But the three most important are the following. Planet Earth. Ki means life after death. The underworld. Mm-hmm. Because there is a big epic, Kurnugi, very famous, about the descent of Ishtar to the underworld. They call it Kurnugi. The third one, it is a source of energy. Mm-hmm. And there's another one, they don't use it quite often. It derives from Kur, K-U-R, which means neighborhood, a city, a district. So what we have here so far? We have the word underworld, we have the word earth, we have the word from within, and we have the word of the head, the king, the ruler. Mm-hmm. Any person with a brain, with some cosmetic appeal toward linguistic interpretation, will find out there is no reference whatsoever to people coming from another star. But we can find two definitions. The people who are led by a king and lived in the underworld, or the follower of a king who lived on earth.
So why most of the scholars or writers insist on the idea that Anunnaki came from the sky?
No. There is one person, we'll not mention his name because we love him and we respect him and he's a pioneer, but he has been hammered by every single professor of who teaches Assyrian or Hittite or Aramaic or Chaldean or Nabataean or Aramaic or Hebrew or Arabic. They nailed him. They said, just to let you know how he does know nothing about the Akkadian language, it does not mean people came from heaven. It means simply the Lord, the gods of the underworld. And also there is some jurisprudence in the interpretation. Sometimes they call them the kings of the higher level in comparison with their counterpart, the Igigi, who are called the kings or god of the lower class. There is no reference. Per se, the word, per se, Anunnaki, has nothing to do, by definition, with people came from outer space. However, this great author was right when he said that they came from another star, because in the epic written on clay tablet, they said they came from Nibiru. That's a fact.
So what is Nibiru?
Nibiru, it is a star system. It's a planet.
Okay.
And the correct pronunciation is not Nibiru. Mm-hmm. Nibiru. And but in some passages of other epic, especially in the Phoenician cosmogony, and in some epic of the gods of Ashuria, thirsting for immortality, Nibiru was never used. It was the word Ashtari. Ashtari were used. It's a planet, but not in our solar system, where, allegedly, the Anunnaki came from and lived. And I believe that. So, defining the Anunnaki as such is wrong, but interpreting them is correct.
Okay, then. Do you believe the idea that human race was created by Anunnaki?
Yes. Well, I can't say 100% as a man of science or a man from academia, but if we go to the source, where did you hear about the Anunnaki first? What did he do? We go to the epic of the creation of the universe and the creation of man. Example, when you read about the Anunnaki goddess Aruru, or the Anunnaki god Ea, or Elil, or Enlil, they tell you, they described in the epic how they created the human being. There were many, many, many techniques and many experiments. One of them is the following. They took the blood of one of the lower god belonging to the Igiji, and they mixed it with clay, which was very abundant in Iraq. And they put it in a container, a tube, called Chimiti, C-H-I-M-I-T-I. It's a tube. And they waited a couple of days, and this Chimiti produced the first human being.
How did you get the original, authentic information about Anunnaki?
Well, this happened 50, 60 years ago. And maybe much earlier than that. I was introduced to a lovely person, a master, a Chinese master, Honorable Master Li. And he took me under his wings and took me to Kowloon, Hong Kong, Okinawa, Ryukyu, Japan, Middle East, Malaysia, Turkey, Beirut, Iraq. And he introduced me to Dr. Tayara, to Sheikh Mutawali, to Rabbi Mordechai, to Grandmaster Berkov. They belong to a group of ulema, people of knowledge and culture.
Okay, when you say ulema, I'm very familiar with this word because we have the same word as ulema in Turkish. But for other languages, it can be a little bit unfamiliar. How would you translate ulema into English?
Ulema derived from the word ulm. Ulm, it means knowledge, culture, wisdom, and science. And ulema is a man of culture, knowledge, science, intelligence, tradition, and also he has something that the West they don't have. On the top of that, they have the firasa. The firasa is an old Anunnaki word which you can find in Farsi and in Arabic. Mm-hmm. Firasa, it means to see and understand things just by looking at them. The ulema are the people of knowledge. The early time of Islam, the high class of highly educated people, the pioneer, were called ulema. They took the word from the pre-Islamic word ulema, which existed before 645, mm-hmm. before Islam came to life in the Arab Peninsula. So the word ulema, it is an Arabic, pre-Islamic, quasi-Judaic Christian word. Then it was changed later to the word allama, which specifically means people of science and culture in the service of al-Caliph, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the head of the Islamic religion.
How many ulama exists today in our world?
The Anunnaki ulema, they are very few, probably maybe 200 people. But they are very different from the ulema of other religions. They don't deal with Islam or with Christianity or with Buddhism. They don't deal with religion. They deal with the Anunnaki wisdom and truth as written in the book of Ramadosh.
You recently started to publish an online magazine, and it will be a monthly magazine, right?
Yeah, it's a hard copy magazine called Ethology and Anunnaki Magazine.
And you have excellent articles that you're on, and also there are other writers that participating into this magazine. And there is one more interesting thing: Anunnaki mind techniques.
Yeah.
How do we get them? What is the source?
Well, the Anunnaki believe, and Ulema believe, that everything starts in the mind. Now, according to a secret teaching of the Ulema, in our brain there is a cell, C-E-L, in the brain called conduit. This cell has not yet been discovered by science. Like the DNA was not discovered until 25 years ago. Before that, nobody knew. In the future, I predict, put it on record, medicine will discover this cell. This cell is called the conduit, which contains all the knowledge in the world. All the knowledge in the past, all the knowledge in the future, because past, present, and future coexist on the landscape of the universe. It just depends on how fast you receive it or how late you receive it. It's like going to a movie theater. You can see the movie from the very end, or you can see it from the very beginning. It's a matter of time. It does exist in the can, the movie, but has not yet been projected on the screen. Your conduit is the screen, and it's directly linked to the Anunnaki at the time they created us. When they created us in their tube, according to the epic, they decided how much intelligence, how much luck, I say luck, how much power you're going to have in your life. The closest you are to your conduit, if you can activate your conduit, you can acquire enormous power, beautiful power. But if you don't open your conduit, you'll be normal, like you and me, like many people there, but you will not accomplish remarkable deed. Some of those deeds are called kiramat. Since you are from Turkey, in the old Osmani, the word Kiramat exists. It also exists in Persian and in Arabic. Kiramat, it means noble deeds, intelligent deeds, spiritual deeds that allow you to accomplish non-physical tasks, which are called by human on earth as miracle. In fact, they are not miracle. Is just synchronizing your intention with your conduit. You talk to your conduit. Mm-hmm. Example, in my book, the Book of Ramadosh, I explain about 13 mind power techniques.
Yes, some of them are in the magazine as well.
Yeah, 100% they are mental. Now, it doesn't mean that you are fantasizing in your brain. You are projecting idea, or it's just hallucination or holographic projection. Absolutely not. You can do it physically. Example, I explain in 62 steps, one by one, why you have to limit yourself to 24 hours a day. Who told you that the day consists of 24 hours? Why some people can produce so much in one day, other can't? If you talk to anthropologists or psychologists or psychiatrists, they will give you all this blah 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 scientific jargon. Don't believe anything they say. Go to the source. Go at the time when a person who never attended a college could speak Greek, Latin, French, Spanish, Aramaic, Hebrew, who was fluent in alchemy, in astrology, in astronomy, in sailing the high seas, reading the skies. How did he learn all this? How did she learn all this? Mind power. Mind power. It's true, you learn from schools, from books, but also you learn from a teacher. You have to have a teacher, muallim, ustaz, ustaz hanum. You have to have a guide who can put you on the path of knowledge.
So, you explained how Anunnaki created the human race and how they designed human races, mind power, or DNA. So the question is, who created Anunnaki?
Good. Now, before I answer this question, would you be interested to know how many races they created?
Oh, definitely. And I'm very much interested in if we are, I mean, the Earth race, we are the only race which was created by Anunnaki, or did they create other races in other parts of the galaxy?
Yeah. Up to 50 or 60 years ago, everybody in academia, in science, believed that we had three species, Erectus, Sapiens, Neanderthal. Recently, 3 years ago, science officially admitted the existence of 36 different species. This is science. Some years ago, anthropologists and archaeologists and forensic anthropologists found a skeleton of a person. They called this person Lucy, very famous skeleton in Africa. They said it's 200,000 years old, 300,000 years old. And that's it. They said that's the beginning of the existence of human on Earth. Everybody believed it. And from that, they developed very famous anthropological theory, the out of Africa origin of man. Out of Africa is very famous theory in anthropology. It means that all of us came from Africa. This is false. I'll give you reason. Many people ask me, Lafayette, give us proof. Give us picture. Give us photo. I'm going to give you the most perplex and explosive document that you can find in colleges today on the internet. I'm talking about ETA. ETA, I-T-A. Dr. Stein and the group of German anthropologists with people from Rochester University and University of Berlin and Bonn and in Sweden, they discover for the first time in history a complete fossils of a human being looking like a reptile as old as 60 million years ago. You can see it. You can go on the internet and research it. And ETA, the German archaeologist who discovered the fossils, named ETA after his daughter, ETA, a German name. Human being with a tail.
So, reptilians were real?
The reptilian, we came, some of the races, not all of us, came from reptilian. People listening to that, to the story today, to our interview, they're going to laugh. Let them laugh as much, as strong as they want. If they go to the recent Journal of Anthropology, certified by every single major academy of science and history, they tell you, yes, we discovered the fossil of ETA, which is 60 to 64 million years old, intact, everything, human being with a tail, very long tail, as big as the body.
So it was human one creation. Of the creations of the Anunnaki?
Now, they never said that.
No, according to your...
According to my point of view, yes. because the Anunnaki created 47 different kinds of human races. Some of them walked on three legs. How do I say that? And can I jeopardize my name and credibility by saying that? I'm not saying that. I am referring you to the epic of the Anunnaki, to the Akkadian epic written thousands of years ago, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, on the clay tablet. They described when Ea and other Anunnaki gods created human beings. They look awful, bestial. The very first species that one of the Anunnaki gods created was urinating on himself. He was drunk. He could not stand up. This is written in Akkadian. Go to the epic and read it. Then Aruru came, the woman came, worked days and nights with seven Anunnaki goddesses, women, to create kind of respectably looking human being. So yes, human beings on earth were created, I'm not going to offend any religion, by God, I say by woman from Anunnaki. Man was created by a woman. And woman did not come from the rib of a man.
So, is it possible to say that? Is it possible to say that Anunnaki created the human race in their own image?
Yes.
Now, do they look like us, or do we like them? Do we look like them?
That's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. This is why the Anunnaki are the only alien extraterrestrial race that they look like human.
So what we call Nordics today?
No. The Anunnaki, they look like those beautiful people from the old time of Syria, Turkey, Armenia, Phoenicia. Beautiful black eyes, big black eyes, tall, or red hair, or black hair, and fair skin.
And again, who created Anunnaki?
According to the book of Ramadosh, they said the Anunnaki were created by a particle. Now, this did appear very strange to many people in the West until 5 years ago, when the West, through the media, discovered there is a secret project underground in Geneva called CERN. Search it on the... I knew about it a long time ago. Now they start to release it. What they are doing? First, they gathered the best 9,700 scientists of all over the world.
Yes, there are Turkish scientists in that project as well.
You know what they are working on? They are working on a particle called the God particle. Well, this word, God particle, Nifsa Eli, appeared 16,000 years ago and was recorded 5,000 years ago in the Anunnaki book of Ramadosh. Nifsa Eli. Nifsa is like nefesh in Hebrew and Aramaic and Arabic. Even in Turkish.
Yes, nefes we say.
Nefes. It's the same thing. It means the soul, the spirit, the life. It's an Anunnaki word. Eli, Ilya. It's the same in Arabic, Allah. The same Allah and Eli in Aramaic. When Jesus on the cross said, Eli, Eli, lama shabakhtani. God, God, why you have forsaken me? Anunnaki word. mean, Anunnaki word. So, Anunnaki were created by a particle which is similar to certain principle in Shinto and in Tantric Buddhism. They call it the state of Kara, K-A-R-A, the emptiness or the nothingness. Nothing can create something. Two negative produce one positive. It was created by what we call, let's say today, God, Creator. Call him whatever you want. His name was Anu, Eli, Yao, Anu Eliyahu. Now, we explained Anu before. We explained Eli, what it means, and Yao, Y-A-W. How do you explain Yao? Well, if you go to Talmudic studies and Proto-Hebrew, if you go to Ugaritic language, Ugaritic in Amrit, in Syria, in Arwad, in the cosmogony of Melkart, you will find out that Yao, Y-A-U, it's the original name of the Jewish God, Yahweh. So Yahweh, the name of the Jewish God, came from Yao, Y-A-W, from the Phoenician Ugaritic. And the Phoenician Ugaritic name of Yao, pronounced H or L, came from the Anunnaki word. So you see, all religion are connected and came from the Anunnaki. This is how we proved that the Anunnaki created religion and the concept of religion and the priesthood caste on earth. All that created by Eli, the name of the God, the creator of the universe.
What does it mean, Ramadosh?
Ramadosh. It's composed of two words, Rama and Dosh. Rama is an old word used by the Habiru, the ancestor of the Jews, and by the Hyksos, the early Armenian, that they ruled Egypt for 100 years, and also by the Anunnaki and by the Sumerian. Rama means a group. People.
Just like Ramayana.
Ramayana. When you add the word I at the end, like you can find this in Persian, in Turkish, Arabic, and Semitic language, like Rami, becomes mine. I give you the sense, sure, of belonging. Balta, Baltaji. Rama, Rami, means I belong to, or it belongs to me. Dosh. Dosh is taken from Kadosh. Kadosh is a Kabbalistic word. It's a Assyrian, Aramaic, Hebrew, Arabic. Means holy. Kadus, Kadosh, Kadosh. In Freemasonry, Kadosh is the 18th degree of enlightenment. So the people of enlightenment.
Okay. People who belong to enlightenment.
Correct. That's the correct translation. You're right.
And when we talk about Anunnaki, are they controlling us? Are they monitoring us? Are they still in touch, in contact with us?
No. They created us long time ago, 65,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Lived on Earth here. Went back and came back. Some 5,000 years before the Common Era, before BC. This is how it explains the missing link between the 65,000 years ago and the 5,000 year before BC, as recorded at the dawn, the beginning of civilization. And they stayed on Earth. They established colonies in Arwad, island of Arwad, Arvados, in Syria, in Phoenicia, Sidon, Sidon, Tyre, Baalbek, Byblos, in Iraq, in Mosul, in Basra, in Sumer, in Kamishle, in Antioch, in Turkey. And what you see, Gilgamesh, Marduk, Sargon, Sennacherib, Nebuchadnezzar, Esar, all those kings that you read about them, they were Anunnaki.
Were they direct Anunnaki or mixed hybrid?
Absolutely direct, the offspring. But then they dissipate. They dissipate and they vanish.
And are they still in contact with us?
No. They created us as star seed, you know, dust. And they left, they went back to their star, to their planet, to their habitat. Went also to other star system. And they lost interest in us. However, 5-6 years ago, one of them came back. And this made headlines, and people started to criticize me about this crazy idea. One of them came and met with the government in Washington, D.C.
When did this happen?
6-7 years ago. I know that for a fact.
And was this encounter on the press?
No. This was a secret meeting. And they met in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. One person, I believe the other were 7 or 12 American. Mm-hmm. Some were a professor from a leading institution of higher learning. Some from a very powerful and important national security agency, and some from an organization that worked for the best interests of America abroad.
So what was the goal?
According to a report, the person, the Anunnaki, told them that you people on Earth, you have problem. Now, I'm not going to repeat what other ufologists and wacko and charlatan, they call themselves cosmic channelers or extraterrestrial medium. They receive messages from the star or from Anunnaki. Come on, they have no such thing. So I'm not going to repeat what they say, that they came here because they worry about our nuclear activity. No, they don't worry about that.
Was it happened after September 11, 2001?
No. This had nothing to do with September 11. Of course, it was tragic. 5,000 people died. How about Hiroshima? 700,000 people died. How about the massacre that what you call Alexander the Great? You call him a great. What for great? He destroyed every single civilization in the Middle East.
So, what was the goal of this encounter with the American government and the Anunnaki?
Well, the Anunnaki told them, now, you got my message. She was a woman. It's not to be to put a halt, atomic program. No. It's what every ufologist will tell you. Oh, the UFO came over here, and they go over the automatic facilities. They are afraid. No, nothing to do. The only concern was the dealings, the unsigned dealing and treaties. Some government on Earth, they are, matter of fact, one government, but we're not mentioned anymore, had a dealing with some humanoid, anthropoid living on Earth, that they are doing a lot of abduction, the extraterrestrial. So, and Anunnaki told them, you should stop this. Don't let the gray continue with their interbreeding, with the hybrid program, and abducting American women and stealing their eggs. It's not going to happen. They are going to overcome you and rule you. They are creating a new breed to govern America. They laugh. They say, oh, come on, that's crazy. Then, a member of the American team looked at this person, said, how do we know really that this person is extraterrestrial? Are we crazy? She told them, you're not crazy, because already you met with extraterrestrial in 1947, 1949, in 1958. Your president met with us. And she gave them some details. But some of them were very young. They were not during the time of Eisenhower or Truman. So what she did, something remarkable. She said, look at me. I'm a woman. You say, well, if the Anunnaki is so powerful, why you don't land in the Vatican or in the White House, or just appear in the sky, project yourself on a screen as big as the universe, send a message. And she said to them, this is exactly what you should ask from your God. If he's so powerful, so strong, why does not stop all the genocide? Why did not prevent the Second World War? Why he keep on sending the tsunami? Why he keep on destroying all the old chapel in South Italy? The same thing. But then she stood up and she told them, look at me, I'm a woman. Don't ever forget, she told them, that woman created man on earth. It's untrue that we women came from the rib of a man, Adam. We are Hawa, the name of the first woman on earth. And look at me, what I can do, me as Hawa. And in fraction of seconds, she multiplied herself in 30 different copies. They saw 30 different women from, they freaked out.
Were you there in that meeting?
I cannot answer question of this type. 30 different types of her appeared. The woman sitting next to me, the woman sitting at the end of the table, said to a person sitting next to her, who I know, she said, my God, look at her neck.
Neck?
Her neck. She said, my God, yeah, she does not move like us. She has to swift all her body to move. One of the copies, the Anunnaki woman told them, number 29 is not me. You can see the difference. This is the genetic hybrid race created by the gray that you have never seen. They live in restricted habitat. This is what is going to happen to your human race. A deformed hybrid quasi-humanoid gray creature. This was going to happen to you if you keep dealing with them.
You know, you are very much familiar with Islamic tradition and the Arabic language and Turkish traditions as well. So I would like to mention about the jinns.
Yeah.
So it is a very important part of the Arabic mythology before Islam, after Islam. And we accept that jinns are interdimensional beings. So what would be your interpretation on them?
The word jinn, it is, as is pronounced in English, in old Arabic, pre-Islamic. Al-jinn. And the feminine format, jinniya, means the spirit who has multiple dimension. Now, this is not only Islamic. Even so, it was mentioned in one of the surat, the 111 surat that consists of the Quran, the Holy Quran. It was mentioned when the Prophet referred to them, as well as in the Hadith Sharif, the dialogue of the Prophet, that King Solomon used the jinn to build his temple and bring the throne of Queen Sheba. So the Quran admitted this. And the Bible admitted this too. Those are spirits, they live in parallel dimension, on earth and between earth. And they can accomplish remarkable deed. They exist in Palmyra, in Petra, in Jordan, and in part of the Arab Peninsula. The jinn lived there for millions of years, for thousands of years, for hundreds of years. And the Bedouin, who know the desert like a snake, you cannot fool a Bedouin. You cannot fool a Bedouin. Who could fool a snake in the desert? You know, they saw many of the jinn. They saw them. tent, there is a book written about the jinn in Arabic. That is out of print. It was printed in 1265 in Cairo, handwritten, and reproduced in 1675 with this remarkable title. I'll translate it. Very famous book. Every lucky, I say, Islamic scholar and people who work with alchemy know about this book. It's part of the Ramadosh called Shams al-Ma'arif al-Kubra. I translate it. Almost some of the words are even in your Turkish language, in Farsi, in Arabic. Shams,
sun.
The sun. It is Shemesh and Shams in Aramaic and in Hebrew, in Ugaritic, in Phoenician, in Akkadian and Sumerian. The same word. And the biggest king and god that ruled both at the time of the Hittite and Sumeria was Shamash, the sun god. The same word in all these languages. Hittite, Turkish, Arabic, Islamic, pre-Islamic, Aramaic, Hebrew, Akkadian, Sumerian. The same name. And as you know from history, if one word has the same meaning that appears in so many different languages and almost pronounced the same thing, that is a global truth that made its impact on so many culture. So there is a lot of truth to it. Shams. Al, it means the. The.
Yes, it is article, just like
yeah.
Latin language.
Yeah. Shams. Al. Ma'arif.
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 Knowledge.
Education. No, it's a little bit than education because faqafa is education. Faqafa. Ma'arif, knowledge. The same in your language, in Persian. The same thing. Kubra.
Kabira. Covert. Hidden.
That's the same word. It's the book of the son of the great knowledge. It's all about the jinn, their language.
It's about a kind of the knowledge book that Madame Blavatsky talks about.
Madame Blavatsky talked about it many, many times. She learned from it. And she created diagram and triangle and sphere. Even Aleister Crowley, you know, to learn from this book how to call the jinn, how to summon the jinn.
Oh, by the way, yes, Aleister Crowley in
1918,
he had a ritual in New York City. And he contacted a being that he named Lem.
Lem. Yeah, and he created Lem,
He created or he invited, he communicated with him. And he made his portrait and it looks like just like the modern Grace. So where do we put Lem in that case?
Lem is one of the jinns. And something else I should tell you about it. Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla. Okay.
Try to contact Lem as well.
Oh, that's interesting. We never heard this before. At least I never heard this before.
Yeah. But for certainly you heard about his statement when he said he got contact from extraterrestrial. This is in his book.
Yes, this is what he claims.
He claimed. He was talking about this and other spirits. They are the one that he told him about extra galactic communication, about the vibration, how it can propagate and enter multiple dimensions. And he did create two machines that could send human beings in different dimensions. When he died, and before they sent him to Yugoslavia, a very important national security agency went to his hotel in New York. You know that?
New Yorker Hotel, yes, I know.
And that. You know the number of his room?
Yes. No. The number of 1113, I guess.
Yeah.
1113.
Third floor.
Right?
They took all his paper.
Yeah. They took his papers, and based on his papers, what did they do?
They developed. We are going to avoid using the word UFO because they will think we are crazy. So forget UFO. It's a machine that can defy anti-gravity.
Yes. And one more thing. Talking about Anunnaki, where do we put human soul? Did they create the human soul?
Yeah.
And what is the human soul?
You know, soul, it's a very controversial semantic concept. I have lot of colleagues in the medical field, surgeons, who believe in God. They're Muslim, they're Christian, they're Druze. They go to mosque, they go to church, they believe in God. Yet they told me they have never discovered one single soul. They have operation every day. Every day on people. People, they die. People, they stay alive. They dig deep in the body of human being before and after their departure. They never found one soul. There is no such thing as soul. You can be, Farah, a very good human being without following one certain religion or believing in soul. There is no soul in us. There is the mind, the power of the mind. You can hit me on my hand. You can put ice cube on my hand. I concentrate through my conduit, and instead of feeling ice, I will feel fire, and vice versa. Where is the soul in all that? You have only brain. Everything is in your brain. You can't move your foot, your toe, your hand without a command from your brain.
What happens after the brain dies? What happens after the body dies?
When the cell in the brain dies, you die.
What about the soul?
No soul.
What about the reincarnation?
I don't believe in reincarnation. Why?
Do Anunnaki say anything about reincarnation?
Absolutely. They taught us a lot. They said the concept of reincarnation as reinterpreted by human is false. According to the Buddhism and Hinduism, even to the small sects in Syria, Lebanon, the Druze, people come back to learn again. This is BS, because you are not going to learn anything better and more from a human and earth. Still the same old people, still the same earth. We are living on the lowest level of knowledge, and the human being are the lowest life form in the universe. You want to learn more? You go to a higher dimension when you can meet higher spirit, when you can learn something. You don't come back to earth with murderer, killer, revolution, rape, violence against women and children and animals. What, you want to learn more? You have been here before. No reincarnation. You go higher, or the fourth dimension, or the fifth, till the 11th dimension.
So, before we finish this interview, my last question is about 2012. What is going to happen in 2012?
Exactly what happened in the year 2000, when all the swag and lunatic ran to Jerusalem. They said, the Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming to save us. And nothing happened. You know how many people committed suicide in the year 2000? This is the end of the universe. Nothing is going to happen in 2012. And I pity all those very famous writer and author in America. He wrote so many books, 2012. They're respectable. They had international bestseller before. But they are cheating the public. And they know it. However, what is going to change the face of history is going to happen in December 2022.
Are we going to see you in the United States in 2012?
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be here just, I'll be here walking in the park. I'll be here walking in the street and feeding the birds. I'll be here looking at those wonderful ladies with their beautiful caniche and dogs. Very simple, regular day.
So, how do we contact you? How do we get your books? How do we read your books and your magazines? Do you have a website?
First, my books are available at 40,000 booksellers, bookstores and websites. But the easiest way, you go on Amazon.com, you order the book. There are probably 70 books on UFO and extraterrestrial and Anunnaki. You send you the book in 3 days. And then there is the new magazine I published last month, Ufology and Anunnaki Magazine.com. 241 pages. That's it.
And your website?
I don't have a website. I have nothing about myself. But the website of the magazine is enough. I have nothing about myself. And how to reach me? I will know if you want to reach me. I will come to you.
Thank you very much, Maximilian. Welcome.